Doing the right thing always makes some people angry. If you do the right thing, you do the honest thing, you have integrity, you show character or compassion or any other Christ-like quality, it's going to make some people angry around you. People think, well, if I were just perfect, everybody would love me. No, they wouldn't. Jesus was perfect, and they killed him.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Have you ever felt pressured to make choices that don't align with your values? Well, the truth is, we all have. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Box. This beautifully designed and stylish vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated scripture cards that will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you. You can take a sneak peek just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When the Heat is On.
Do any of you remember the Eddie Murphy movie, Beverly Hills Cop? Anybody remember that movie? Okay, you're a lot older than you look. That movie came out 32 years ago. 32 years ago. And the producers wanted a theme song for that movie. And so they hired Glenn Frey of the Eagles. The Eagles were a band that were broken up at the time, and they paid him a flat $15,000 to record a song called The Heat Is On. Anybody remember this song? It became one of the biggest international hits of the decade. It made millions and millions of dollars. They paid the guy who sang it $15,000 because it was just a throwaway song. The title of that, or the words to that song, go like this. The heat is on, the heat is on, the heat is on, it's on the street. Inside your head on every beat, and the beat's so loud it's deep inside, because the pressure's high just to stay alive. The heat is on. Ever felt like that? You know, it's interesting, that expression, the heat is on, is not that old of an expression. It's less than 100 years old. It comes from the 1930s in America during the gangster era, and it meant the cops are after you. You were being chased by the police. And then it later came to mean if you were being interrogated or grilled by the police, then the heat was on. And I think heat, grill, that's like barbecue. I understand this. Now, today, that phrase, of course, is an international phrase. Heat is on. It simply means I'm under pressure. I'm feeling the pressure of a deadline, the pressure of expectation at work, at home, the pressure of peer pressure, things like that. Today, it just means any testing of your strength, of your resources, and an expectation you have to fulfill. And there are a lot of different kinds of heat. But today, in this story, in Daniel chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you might open there, we're going to actually look at literal the heat is on in a fiery furnace. Now, this story in the life of Daniel happens 15 years later than the one we looked at last week. So now Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are no longer teenagers. They're in their mid-30s. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, remember, he's the emperor of the Babylonian Empire, which is the largest empire in the world at that time. He's the most powerful man in the world. What often comes with that is an ego. And his entire life, we're going to see more about this later in another week, Nebuchadnezzar dealt with the issue of pride and arrogance constantly. And this causes the next test. And it's a test that you're going to have in your life when the heat is on. In your life. Now, the Bible tells us this. Daniel chapter 3, up here on the screen, it says this. King Nebuchadnezzar made a giant gold image of himself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, friends, this is what you call an ego trip. You build a 90-foot statue to yourself, all right, and set it up on the plain. Then he, King Nebuchadnezzar, gave this order to all of his officials, to the princes and the prefects and the governors and the advisors and the treasurers, and the judges and the magistrates and other officials. By the way, these are actually in the pecking order of that day. So the most powerful at the front, the princes were the most powerful, then the prefects, then the governors. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're all three of them are governors. They've been appointed. They've been serving for 15 years. They're Jewish, but they're serving as governors in Babylon. So these are all the power people of that day. And he says, I want all you guys to come to the official dedication of this statue that he had set up. And then it says, when they had all assembled, an announcer shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages, this is the king's command. Anytime you hear the royal orchestra start playing music, you are all to immediately drop everything, fall to your knees, and bow and worship the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. Wow. That's inconvenient. But it's all, drop everything, and Nebuchadnezzar is saying, it's not enough to be king, I want to be God. I want everybody to worship me. And this is the oldest temptation. God says that Adam and Eve were told by Satan, you will be gods if you do what I tell you to do. And you're going to be that. Now, anyone, he adds a little carrot and stick thing here, and he says, anyone who does not fall down and worship this idol, this image, will immediately be thrown into a giant blazing furnace, which he had made and put near the statue. No, as soon as they heard the music, everybody bowed down before the statue and worshiped the image of King Nebuchadnezzar.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Please stay with us because there's a lot more of our series, Unshakable, coming right up.
Thanks for joining us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As Christians, we know that in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, I'd like to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This vegan leather box is filled with full-color, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards, along with graphically designed, four-color, lined cards for your favorite Bible verses, personal notes, and observations. This resource will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you, when you're looking for answers to difficult questions, or when you just need to be refreshed in the Lord. The Verses of Hope Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your office or living space. It's a great way to start a conversation with people around you about God's Word. Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own Verses of Hope Scripture Box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
No, as soon as they heard the music, everybody bowed down before the statue and worshiped the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, before we go any further on this, I just want to point out, this story happened 2,500 years ago, but it is as relevant today because we have the same four things in our culture today, in Western culture. You might write these down. Today, this is just as true as it was then. The world, number one, the world creates larger-than-life images for me to worship. Today, all around the world creates larger-than-life images for me to worship. Now, we don't make them out of gold anymore. We don't put up 90-foot statues. But the images that today the world wants us to idolize that are larger-than-life are on movie screens. And you see actors, and we idolize these actors on larger than life on movie screens. We see them in sports stadiums, where athletes are treated like gods, and they are idolized, and they're larger than life. We see them in concerts. If you've ever been to a rock concert, they make that person look like they are God. And the lights and the smoke and all of the whiz-bang stuff, and people going, whoa, they're larger than life. We should worship this person. And then the internet makes people larger than life. And by the way, do people still worship gold today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one's still around too. But today, the idols we have are not statues. Here are the idols and the images that the world wants you to worship today. Physical beauty. That is idolized in our culture. And if you're not good looking, you don't matter in this culture. That's what the world says. Only the really sharp and sexy looking people matter. And we worship beauty. We worship physical beauty. We worship sex. That's an image. It's everywhere in Western culture and even in other cultures too now. It's just penetrating and taking over. Wealth, success. These are things that people idolize. Pleasure. We idolize pleasure. Fame, power, influence, popularity. These are all images. They're just as real. They're not statues on a plane, but people are worshiping them like they are worthy of God. Okay, so that's the first thing that's in common. Second thing we have in common is me, and it's this. You might write this down. I am tempted to create a false image of myself to impress others. And you do this too. You are tempted every day of your life to build your image and to create a false impression of yourself to everybody around you, because you want to be loved. You want to be honored. You want to be well known. You really secretly would like to be worshiped. Now, anytime I spend any time building my own image, that's a potential trap, because image building quickly becomes idol building. And the whole idea of our culture is it's all about me. That's why when I wrote Purpose Driven Life, the first line of the book was the most counterculture statement I could think of. It's not about you. That's a slap in the face, because everything else in our culture says, no, it's all about you. If there's any word that defines the 21st century, it's image. You can hire image consultants today to snazz up your image. You didn't even hear of these things, 100 years ago. And character, what you really are, has been replaced by image, what you want everybody to think you are. And the number one way people do it today to show their image and to pretend they're something they're not is on social media. And it's like, hey, let me show you this picture of my perfect life. And you never show yourself without makeup. Or when you're having a bad hair day. Or, you know, you're only showing all the great, and you're creating this image of yourself because everyone wants to be famous for 15 minutes. And now, I mean, it's so taken over, you can't sit down at a restaurant without taking a picture of your food and posting it. Really? Can I not just, do I have to take a picture of it? I mean, really? I call it food porn. Whoa, look at that, what they're eating. I wish I could eat like that. And it's just, you're creating an image of yourself. And this is a big, big deal today. And it's wrong. Now, I'm not talking about being the best person you can be or dressing as good as you can. No, you ought to do that. You ought to be as good as you can. You ought to dress, look as nice as you can. That can bring honor and glory to God. But when I'm talking about image building, I'm talking about trying to be somebody you're not, or trying to be somebody else. That's a bad thing. And some people, they don't have an idol out there. They idolize themselves. Have you ever met anybody who idolizes themselves? Don't look at them. They may be sitting right next to you, but don't look at them. Be cool. All right. How do you know when somebody idolizes themselves? They think the world revolves around them. You should adapt to my schedule. You should adjust to my needs. You should all be thinking about me, not you. And that kind of ego, prideful, arrogant narcissism is rampant in our culture today. So we don't have golden idols. We just make ourselves idol and post it on Facebook and want everybody to worship what we do. Third thing about our culture, it's still true today. If I reject the world's images and idols, people will try to burn me. Not physically burn you in a furnace, but they'll try to burn you in other ways. If I reject the world's idols and the world's images, and the whole world says, oh, you should worship this. Everybody is doing this. Everybody loves this. Everybody thinks this is great. And if you don't particularly think it's great, there are going to be people who want to burn you. Now, when all the leaders of Babylon all fall flat on their face, the orchestra starts playing, everybody falls on their face to worship this big idol. Three guys stood standing tall. They're stand-up guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these three guys are Jewish guys. They're the governors of the province of Babylon because of their appointment last time. They'd gotten promoted on the last test. Three guys stay standing. Everybody else in the nation is bowing. They're sticking out like a sore thumb. This made some people upset. They wanted to burn them. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8, up here on the screen. But some Babylonian officials used this opportunity to denounce the Jews. Now, they told the king. Now, listen to what a kiss-up this is. They're really flattering the king. Oh, great king. Oh, great king. We hope you live forever. Yeah, right. We hope you live forever. They're just looking for a promotion themselves. But, they said, those guys over there, the Jewish officials that you put in charge of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have defied your decree. Now, they have refused to serve your gods, and they have refused to bow down and worship your image that you set up. It's a self-installed image. So, he says, we recommend that they should be burned in the blazing furnace. This is where the heat's on comes from. Now, how's this for loyalty from your coworkers? These are the other governors. These are the other officials. And we don't know why they did this. I mean, we can speculate. It may have just been anti-Semitism. You know, they go, hey, this is Babylon. We're Babylonians. You got some foreigners in charge here. It could have been racial bigotry. You got Jews leading us. We don't like that. Some of you have been the recipient of racism. I'm sorry. Some of you have felt bigotry because of your country, where you came from. Bigotry to foreigners. Certainly you can experience religious intolerance. They're Jews. That could have been the reason. Or it could have been more personal that they wanted these guys' jobs. They're just competitive, and they're jealous, and they're competitive, and they go, we got three foreigners holding these jobs. I want that job. And so they want to get rid of them. Or they may have just been used by Satan because these men honored God, and Satan doesn't like anybody who honors God. But let me just say this. When you go to work, there are going to be people at your work who want to burn you. You just need to realize it. They're going to want to burn you for whatever reason that they have. By the way, in this story, since this is the book of Daniel, where's Daniel? He's not in this story. It's about his friends. Well, Daniel is one of the top advisors of the king by this time, and he may have been sent off. He's clearly not here, so he obviously wasn't even there. He might have been out of the country representing King Nebuchadnezzar somewhere else. So he's not involved in this story. Now, here's the point. If I reject the idols, people are going to try to burn me. One other thing, you might write this down. The fourth thing that's true today is this. Doing the right thing always makes some people angry. If you do the right thing, you do the honest thing, you have integrity, you show character or compassion or any other Christ-like quality, it's going to make some people angry around you. People think, well, if I were just perfect, everybody would love me. No, they wouldn't. Jesus was perfect, and they killed him. They put him on the cross. So even if you were perfect, there are going to be people who want to crucify you. In this particular test, as I said, it doesn't involve Daniel, but his three best friends. And what upset everybody is they dared to challenge the king's narcissism. And they say to Nebuchadnezzar, okay, look, you're king, granted. You may be the most powerful person in the world, granted, but you're not God. and we're not bowing to you and treating you like a god. That's a line in the sand we will not cross.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down, and also keep them deep within your heart." But how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways, and here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, "I can't do that." Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart." To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's Word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, "I can't memorize anything." Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's Word, listen to God's Word, and live God's Word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own vegan leather Verses of Hope Scripture Box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.